Good afternoon. I'm Kathleen Sebelius, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, and pleased to be here today with my colleague, Tom Vilsack, the Secretary of Agriculture. And we just came from an event with Vice President Joe Biden to announce that the Food Safety Working Group, created by President Obama in mid-March, has come back with a series of important recommendations to make our food safety system infinitely better in the 21st century, to try and prevent illnesses before they happen, to have better data, better tracking, and to stop the outbreak of food illnesses, foodborne illnesses, which unfortunately kill about 5,000 Americans each year, hospitalize hundreds of thousands of people, and cause millions and millions of dollars worth of damage to our important food market in America.
Well, Kathleen, I want to thank you for the partnership we've had with the Health and Human Services and the Department of Agriculture. President Obama charged both of our departments with working together in an integrated way to come up with a set of core principles. And it is important for all of you to know that those core principles really are about keeping you and your families safe. We obviously want to prevent foodborne illness from occurring. If it does in fact occur, we want to be able to respond quickly to any incident, to be able to reduce the number of people who might be exposed. And then we want to learn from those experiences and make sure that our system continues to improve. Our work in the working group is not done. We're going to continue to work as department together to continue to look for ways to improve food safety. We announced several steps today. In our department, we're going to strengthen rules in terms of salmonella and poultry and try to do a better job of making sure we detect E. coli in ground beef in particular. But there's a lot more work to be done, and actually you all can be helpful to us to encourage members of Congress to continue focusing on food safety. So we look forward to the conversation.
Great. Well, Secretaries, we have a really good discussion going on right here. Jason Tetreault, earlier on in the discussion, talked a little bit about the fact that 40% of all consumers believe that they play no role in food safety. I know that's an important part of what you talked about today.
Well, it's true. I think consumers can be part of the detection system to make sure that we track outbreaks very quickly. If someone in your family falls ill after eating a meal, transmitting that evidence to the local health department is a big, important first step so that we can be rapidly responding to what may be a foodborne illness. It could be the flu, it could be some other illness that has nothing to do with the food, but if it appears to be something related to the food and illnesses caused, having that step, certainly keeping track of the warnings being put out. There is a important websites that the CDC and the Food Safety Working Group are going to continue to post to make sure that consumers share information with one another and we stop people from purchasing what may be contaminated products, and then learning more about what is and is not safe for you and your family is, I think, an important way that we can all take some personal responsibility and be in this together.
Consumers also have a responsibility to know how best to prepare and to maintain
that's
food
right.
To limit and reduce the risk. And that's one of the reasons why both the Health and Human Service website and the USDA website are good places for information about proper handling and proper response. The food safety website that Secretary Sebelius talked about is a fairly easy one to remember, www.foodsafety.gov. Tremendous opportunity for us to reach out to you as a consumer to let you know if there's a problem, to give you information to allow us to do a better job of alerting you more quickly. We'll also be working perhaps a bit more closely than we have in the past with our state public health partners and our local government partners to make sure that we broadcast messages concerning recalls as quickly as we possibly can.
That's great. There's a great conversation happening right now about getting more people farming in this country, Secretary Vilsack. Danny Howick from D.C. would like to see a government-sponsored program to encourage young people to farm. I know that's something you've worked on a lot.
Well, fortunately, we have a first family that's committed to this as well. The First Lady's garden at the White House and our garden at the People's Garden at USDA has encouraged a lot of folks to get into the gardening business. and we're seeing a substantial increase in local gardening, community-supported agriculture. We've started a program at USDA called Know Your Food, Know Your Farmer. It's really designed to link local production and local consumption, and we will be having a good deal of discussion about how we can encourage young people in particular to get started. We also have a beginning farmer program to provide the capital to allow farmers to get started. One interesting fact that people might find interesting, that in the last 5 years, there were 108,000 new farming operations started in America in the category of farms with less than $10,000 in sales. These are obviously not big operations, but 108,000 entrepreneurial opportunities repopulating rural America. We obviously want to see an expansion of those kinds of opportunities.
And as you know, Tom Vilsack is the former governor of Iowa, and I am the former governor of Kansas, and we take farming and food safety very seriously because we both come out of the heartland where a lot of the food consumed in this country is grown and processed. So these are near and dear to our hearts.
There's, along those same lines, there's a nice discussion and a bunch of questions coming up from Eric Burkhardt and then Jennifer Owens talking about, if organic and natural food are the healthiest option, then why aren't they mandated more often? We have a system where only the richest can afford organic produce. Jennifer talks about a food justice issue, and there's some more questions about how do we get healthy, safe food into inner cities and some communities where people can't afford it.
Well, you know what's interesting about this is that it doesn't necessarily have to cost more. I think that there is the belief that it does cost more, but the reality is that there have been some studies done by USDA that show that you can still eat very, very healthy food at a relatively inexpensive cost if you know how to prepare it and how to maximize it. Again, the USDA website's got opportunities for folks to learn more about that. There is the issue, and I'll just mention this briefly, Kathleen, there's the issue of food deserts in urban centers.
Right.
And we are trying to address that. We've got some of the leading grocers in the country now focused on this issue, trying to figure out how can we actually get grocery stores to establish themselves in urban centers when fast food restaurants and convenience stores prosper quite well in these same neighborhoods. So there ought to be a way for us to get these food deserts get good food to folks in all parts of the country.
And I think Tom is right, not only the grocery store issue, but there's a lot of work going on about how we have healthier food in school cafeterias and how we make sure that local farmers and growers are actually able to be vendors in local establishments, nursing homes and hospitals and schools, which often have mass purchasing contracts that drive produce for miles away. So a lot of that work is underway as we look at the health and nutrition of not only the current generation, but our children. Having an opportunity to have healthier food at every step along the way is really a critical piece of the challenge to help reduce the levels of obesity that we see, encourage healthier eating, and actually introduce fruits and vegetables at a much earlier stage to our children. And ketchup is not a vegetable.
Well, that's funny because Kat Bithsmith just brought that up. She says, what do we do to get people to eat, that people overeat right now? What can we do to encourage people to not overeat and do more exercise?
Well, one of the things we can do is Sesame Street and a number of preschool and childcare facilities are beginning to encourage young parents to know a little bit more about the nutritional value of food and the nutritional density of food. A calorie isn't the same as every other calorie. There are some calories that have more nutritious density than others. And so as young parents learn more about nutrition, they can do a better job of educating their youngsters about it. And if we figure out strategies for encouraging youngsters to be consumers of fruits and vegetables and then making them available, as Kathleen suggested, in school lunch programs, school breakfast programs, after school snack programs, which, by the way, this is an important year for all who are watching this. We will be reauthorizing a lot of the child nutrition laws this year. And this is a tremendous opportunity for you to be engaged in this debate, to encourage your members of Congress, your senators, to provide the resources that will allow us to expand access to these programs and improve the quality of them.
And a new train is starting up on food safety research. Betsy Bourne from DC says, food safety research is needed, yet not funding for it. Not yet funding for it continues to be cut from budgets. I want to know if the group that you two are working on will support and recommend more food safety and food science research at universities.
Well, I think there's definitely an effort underway that is both in the collection, not only the research, but collection of data that is part of the strong recommendations coming out of the Food Safety Working Group. I know that the National Institutes of Health have funded a number of projects based on information dealing with nutritional value and the work we can do on food. And also the Centers for Disease Control is very committed to this area. So I think there are multiple efforts. The bill that Congress is considering right now dealing with food safety initiatives also is promoting extensive investments in research to make sure that we prevention is all about knowing what's coming next and understanding what the potential harms are that face us. So the more research we do, the better we collect that data, the faster we analyze it, I think the safer our food supply will be because it's coming from all over the world.
You know, the Vice President mentioned earlier today that the food safety system hasn't really kept up with the times. And as we look on a prevention focus, that means we're going to have to know more about pathogens. And to know more about pathogens, you obviously have to have up-to-date research. So that's a valid point.
And along those lines, Nancy Kaplan said, I'm wondering how you plan to address the need for better traceability of foods from the farm to the supermarket. What role will technology, like sensors and barcodes, play in this sort of stuff you've been talking about today?
Well, I think there's no question that what we need is a 21st century system. And as Tom has already said, the Vice President said we haven't been updated very much since Upton Sinclair wrote The Jungle in 1906. So we have some distance to catch up. But technology is helpful, and government can do some of the inspections. But what we need is a much more integrated system where the importers and marketers and producers are taking some responsibility, that we really have a collaborative public-private effort to make sure that we trace and track the food, because we now have an international food supply of fruits and vegetables, of fish, of meat coming from all over the world, and the likelihood that we can inspect each and every product as it comes through our borders is not really very valid. But what we can have is a much better system of understanding where the food products came from, involving the private industry as a collaborative partner in identifying any initiatives that may happen, given stronger powers to our inspectors to stop and hold food if there's a suspected contamination outbreak, and quickly get that word out.
And the reason why the marketplace should be interested in that system is that if we're able to trace back, then we're able to be very specific about where the problem was,
right,
which means that the entire market doesn't get jeopardized and complicated and compromised. We saw with just one cow, for example, the beef industry was devastated several years ago and still has never recovered in terms of trade opportunities. So it is important for the industry and for the market, in addition for health,
right,
to be able to pinpoint precisely and as accurately and as quickly as possible where the problem is.
A new chain starting with comments from Northern Indiana and Bowling Green, Kentucky, is worried about a one-size-fits-all approach to food safety regulation. Amy says, are there efforts to understand that one-size-fits-all doesn't work for small-scale meat processors? And Mike says, how are these changes, Mike Petroselli in Indiana says, how do these changes in regulations apply to smaller growers and retailers, the people on the roadside stand?
Well, one of the aspects of a prevention approach is to really focus on a risk assessment. Where is the greatest risk lie, and how do you respond to that great risk? And so as a result of that, there obviously will be distinctions between various facilities based on, and various products based on the level of risk that's associated and involved. So that is one response. And the second response is, as we create more local production and local consumption opportunities, it will be challenging for us to figure out precisely how we do work a system that ensures safety and ensures enough of a market for folks to be profitable. I think we can work on that, and I think we'll be successful at it.
Well, I think in addition, the partnerships that we've already talked about with private industry, we also need very robust partnerships with local health departments,
mm-hmm,
and local initiatives. Some of the meat inspection, for instance, is done at the local level by the local agriculture department, depending on how robust the marketplace is. There are responsibilities that don't rest with the federal government, they rest with our state and local partners. So that's another piece of this puzzle, to have a really integrated, transparent system, same rules, rapid response, and rapid sharing of that information.
We have time for just one more question, and a great one came in from Kansas City, Missouri, from Jonathan Morris. Why does the federal government, why is it important for the federal government to do something about domestic food safety? Why can't states just do it?
Well, I think, Jonathan, it's critical that whether it's the Food and Drug Administration with the responsibility of overseeing a lot of the food products, or the Department of Agriculture, which has the responsibility over a lot of the meat products, that we have a system in place that ensures safety to the American public. 5,000 people a year die from foodborne illnesses in this country. Millions are hospitalized. So it's a safety and security of the American people is the president's primary objective, and certainly you shouldn't have to wonder when you serve your kids dinner whether or not what you're serving them may harm them in the long run. So that's really a responsibility that we take seriously in conjunction with our state and local partners.
And I think it's important for consistency that there be a set of rules that everybody understands, because you have processors that are shipping food products in all 50 states. You have countries bringing
all over the world.
You have countries bringing food products into the United States. So naturally, not every state can do things at the border like the federal government can. So there are important roles for every level of government. What has been lacking has been an integration of those responsibilities and better communication. The working group that Kathleen and I chaired has essentially suggested we need to do a better job of integration, and that's what we're committed to doing.
And just to make it clear, this isn't a new role for the federal government to play. This is not a new responsibility or the federal government taking over things. It's really an update of the system that's been in place for a long time, an updated role, but recognizing that we have a very different market than we did when the original food safety rules were put in place. We have an international market, and we need a very different response system and prevention system, and that's what the Food Safety Working Group was charged with. What does our 21st century food safety system look like? And that's the work that we're collaborating on today.
Thanks a lot, everybody, and both of our secretaries look forward to hearing from you in the future.